Chapter 19. Nance ran back into the main tunnel, the water splashing over her sensible old lady shoes. Ruth, Ida, and Helen followed, with Lexi and the cart bringing up the rear.
"Mona, wait up!"
Ida yelled after Nance as she waded into the tunnel.
"Can't! We have to hurry!"
Nance shot back over her shoulder.
"At least tell us where we're going," Ruth said.
"Do you hear that drumbeat?" Nance asked.
"Yes," Ida drew out the word.
"Well, that's not a migraine starting. It's the drums from the rehearsal parade," Nance said. "You know, when they do a practice run of the entire route to make sure everything will go off without a hitch during the real parade tomorrow."
"Yeah, so?"
Helen slowed down a bit, flashing her light at the sides of the tunnel.
"Yeah, so what?"
Carolee piped up from the cart. Nance stopped and turned to look at them.
"Don't you guys know what that means?"
she asked in an exasperated tone.
"No,"
Carolee said meekly.
"If we can follow the sounds of the parade, it will lead us straight to the center of town."
Nan's voice drifted off as she cocked her ear toward the ceiling, apparently listening for the parade.
"And right to the manhole cover," Ruth added.
"I think we are on the right track to head downtown, because we're passing the lipstick mark I made when we went into the tunnel where we found the money room."
Helen pointed to the red arrow scrawled in lipstick on the wall at the juncture of two tunnels.
"Oh, by the way,"
Carolee's voice drifted up from the cart, "thanks for making that lipstick mark. I might never have found you or the room full of money otherwise. Although, in retrospect, I might have been better off if I hadn't." Helen stared at Carolee.
"You mean to say, if I hadn't left that mark, we might not be in this predicament?"
Carolee shrugged as much as she could, seeing as she was bound up with duct tape.
"It's hard to say."
"We don't have time for this," Nan said. "Let's go. I hear parade noises up ahead."
"I think you guys can unstrap me from this cart," Carolee said. "It's not like I'm going to run away."
"Yeah, right," Lexi snorted.
"It will be a lot easier on you instead of having to drag me around."
Carolee wiggled on the cart as if to illustrate her point.
"Cut it out, or I'll leave you tied up and the cart here," Lexi said, as she struggled to drag the weaving cart through the watery tunnel.
"You wouldn't dare. That would be sentencing me to death."
"I still don't get why you went to all the trouble of opening a bakery when you simply could have broken into mine, just like you did last night," Lexi said.
"We figured we'd need time to explore the sewers and find the money," Carolee explained. "If we broke in while you were still operating a business there, the break-in would be discovered the next morning when you came to open up. If we didn't find the money on the first try, we didn't know if we'd be able to break in again. So the plan was to drive you out of business and then rent the space ourselves. Then we'd have as long as we wanted to look around down here for the money."
"So why did you break in last night then?" Helen asked.
"We found out about the sewer project cutting off the access and the locks being opened. We knew if the sewers flooded, it could wash the money away, so we figured it was our last chance.
I saw you leave by the front door and thought you'd gone home."
Carolee's voice ended in a sob.
"It was all Harvey's idea. I hope that old man didn't hurt him. I just have to get out of here and make sure he's okay."
"Shh," Nance hissed at them. "Will you two be quiet? I need to listen for the parade."
Nance cocked her ear toward the ceiling again, and Lexi, Ruth, Ida, and Helen followed suit. Lexi could just faintly hear drumbeats to the left and the sound of rushing water to the right.
"I think it's over there,"
Helen pointed to the left.
"Yes, I hear it too," Nance said. "But how do we get there?"
"There's got to be a connecting tunnel."
Ida sloshed ahead,
Helen, come up here with that flashlight.
I can make a lot of ruckus if you don't untie me, and then none of us will get out of here.
Carol Lee started singing, an ungodly wail of a tune. Lexi, Ruth, and Nance put their hands on their ears.
Stop it, that sounds awful, Ruth yelled.
And I can make it real hard to maneuver in here, too.
Carol Lee wiggled on the cart, sending it swaying from side to side. The more it swayed, the harder she wiggled, until she'd gotten quite a momentum going. The cart splashed up water onto Ruth and Lexi, freezing cold water.
Hey, I've had just about enough of you, Ruth said.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Carol Lee yelled.
I'll show you what I'm going to do. I'll shut you right up with this.
Ruth rummaged in her purse, coming up with a roll of duct tape and waving it threateningly at Carol Lee, who continued to rock the cart and splash water.
Things were much nicer when she was unconscious, Nan said. They sure were.
Ruth's eyes drifted up to the side of the tunnel, where a big chunk of concrete had come loose and was ready to crumble off.
I sure hope that concrete doesn't fall and knock her out again.
What?
Carol Lee jerked her head up, the motion causing the cart to lurch sideways, smashing against the side of the tunnel and loosening the concrete chunk. Everyone watched, wide-eyed, as the chunk seemed to teeter back and forth before crashing down right on top of Carol Lee's head.
Oh, heck, Carol Lee said, just before it knocked her out cold.
Well, I'll be, Ruth said. That certainly was convenient,
Nans nodded.
Ask and you shall receive.
Helen and Ida sloshed back down to them.
There's a tunnel to the left up ahead, and I can hear the parade. Let's get a move on.
Lexi grabbed the cart handle, and they hustled up the sewer tunnel, turning left behind Ida and Helen. Once they were a few feet into the tunnel, the parade sounds became much more distinguishable.
I can hear it, Lexi said.
If this is Main Street, the manhole should be dead ahead.
Nance took off at a sprint. Lexi tugged on the cart. It was getting heavier. The steadily rising water was almost up to the level of the cart's platform. Any higher, and they'd have to do something to keep Carol Lee from drowning. Lexi's arm burned. Her breath came out in shallow puffs. She didn't know how much longer she could pull the cart.
I see it!
Nan's excited shout echoed down the tunnel, giving Lexi a burst of energy. Nan stood about 50 feet away, looking up. Lexi could see shafts of light filtering down from the holes in the manhole cover above. Ruth, Ida, and Helen caught up to Nan's, and the four of them jumped up and down, waving their arms and yelling,
Hello!
Down here!
Yoo-hoo!
Lexi doubted anyone above would be able to hear them over the din of the parade. She pulled the cart up to the group of women and pushed them aside.
Hold on! I'll try and push the cover off, she yelled.
The roof of the tunnel was about 7 feet tall. Metal rungs leading up to the manhole cover were embedded in the side of the tunnel. Lexi reached out and grabbed one, the cold, clammy metal chilling her hands. She hoisted herself up, putting her feet on the lower rung and climbing the other two, her wet feet slipping as she went. She only needed to climb up a few feet before she was high enough. She put both her palms on the cover. She pushed with all her might. It didn't budge. She tried again. Nothing.
Help!
She yelled up through the holes, but she knew it was no use. No one would hear her. The parade was too loud. She crawled back down the metal rungs. It's no use, she said as she splashed off the last rung into the water, her heart sinking. The parade is too loud.
Oh, dear, Helen wrung her hands. What are we going to do?
I have an idea.
Nan snapped open her purse, and much to Lexi's amazement, pulled out a dental mirror.
Lexi's chest tightened as she watched Nans scramble up the metal rungs.
"Be careful, Nans," she said. "Why don't you let me do that?"
Nans waved her off with one hand while she thrust the dental mirror up with the other. Moving the mirror, she angled her head this way and that.
"Are you signaling an SOS?"
Ida asked.
"Nope."
Nans wiggled the dental tool some more, then squinted up into the opening so she could see what was happening up above in the reflection of the mirror.
"Oh, there it is."
"What?"
Lexi squinted up at Nans.
"The guide dog float is coming up next,"
Nans said.
"So? Do you guys still have those scones in your purses?"
Nans asked Ruth, Ida, and Helen. The three looked thoughtful and then opened their purses.
"I don't rightly remember,"
Ida said as she dug in the purse.
"Oh, I do."
She pulled out the napkin-wrapped scone and held it up to Nans.
"Me too," Ruth said.
"Here's mine."
Helen held up hers.
"Give me yours, Ida."
Nans reached down and took the package from Ida, opening it up and pinching off a piece of scone, which she pushed up through the small hole in the cover.
"What in the world are you doing?"
Ida asked.
"Creating a ruckus so we'll get noticed."
Nans pushed more bits of scone through the cover, then gestured to Helen to hand up her scone, which Nans broke into bits and pushed up. Suddenly, the parade noises were drowned out by the sounds of sniffing, then a few short yips and a couple of growls. Nans shoved one more piece of scone up through the cover, and the air erupted in a frenzy of barking.
"Hey, hey, what is going on?"
A voice carried down to them. Lexi noticed the parade noises had stopped, presumably due to the ruckus caused by the dogs fighting over the pieces of scone.
"Hey!"
Nans yelled up at the cover.
"Is that someone down there?"
she heard a voice.
"Yes, we're stuck down here. Can you get the cover off so we can get out?"
"Hold on, let me get the cop on detail,"
the voice said. Lexi heard feet shuffling above, and then a familiar voice.
"Are you trying to tell me someone is down there in the sewer?"
"Yes, we're down here and we've caught a criminal,"
Nans yelled up.
"I do wish you would hurry and remove the manhole cover to let us out, though. The water in the sewer is rising. I fear I've already ruined my new orthopedic shoes."
"Wait a minute. Mona, is that you?"
Lexi's heart lurched when she realized to whom the voice belonged.
"Why, yes, it is. Jack?"
Nans looked at Lexi and shrugged.
"Yeah, it's me. Let me guess. You guys went down in there to investigate the murder, even though I said not to, right?"
"Yes,"
Nans said sheepishly.
"And I'm sure Lexi is down there, too,"
Jack said. Lexi grimaced, remembering Jack had told her he'd pulled the detail for the bicentennial celebration. It was just her luck he'd be the one to be stationed near the manhole.
"But we found out who the killer is, and figured out who broke into Lexi's bakery, and recovered the money from the 1948 bank robbery,"
Ida said proudly.
"Well, almost recovered the money,"
Helen added.
"What are you guys talking about?"
Jack asked.
"Never mind now," Nans yelled. "Just get us out of here."
"I'll have to get the sewer guys here to lift the plate," Jack said.
Lexi heard police radio noises and then Jack saying,
"Hey, you won't believe who's down here."
"Now who's he talking to?"
Ruth asked.
"Baker, are you down there?"
The unmistakable voice of Watson Davies drifted down through the manhole cover, and Lexi rolled her eyes.
"Yes, and you won't believe it, but we captured Kara Lee in the act."
"The baker from the Brew and Bake?"
Davies asked.
"Yep,
she really was up to no good." Lexi cast a glance at Kara Lee, who lay unconscious on the cart, the water now perilously close to her face.
"So, she was the one that broke into your bakery?"
"Well, not the first time," Lexi said.
first time?
What is going on down there?
Nance cut in.
We'll tell you when we get out. Now, for Pete's sake, will you open the darn manhole cover? The water is rising, and we have another criminal to catch before it's too late.